Well, we do give thanks to God for the testimony of those individuals this morning. What a faithful and generous God we have, and how blessed we are to witness God's work in their lives. It feels especially fitting that today we begin a new short sermon series based on the lectionary readings called Reasons for Faith. Reasons for Faith. Some of us come to the service eagerly, and some, joyfully, and others sometimes reluctantly we come to church, but we come. And God works in mysterious ways in each one of our lives. But the simplicity of this sermon series is simply reasons for faith. And one of the reasons today we'll be looking at is testimony, experiencing a God of personal experience. Because it's one thing to read about something in a book, your favorite place, you read about it. It's another thing to actually experience the sand on your toes, right? Big difference to think about something and to experience it yourself. And so today's message will be in that light, the testimony of personal experience. I do remember growing up, and one of the things that we do with faith is we can lean on other people for their faith. And my dad was one such person, and I just grew up in a Christian home and was able to lean on his faith for very many years. And yet it came a time in my own life when, dad was not there, and the grace that I experienced, it wasn't just my dad, but it was the God behind it. And so I had to learn the moves myself and learn what it meant to encounter God's grace in my own life. It was an amazing thing to encounter the grace of God for myself personally, not secondhand, but myself. In many ways, our passage from John's gospel is a testimony to God's goodness. And to understand this goodness, it's helpful to understand the context in which John writes. This image of the shepherd and the sheep, it's not given in a vacuum. It comes in direct response to religious leaders of Jesus' day. And these leaders were entrusted with the care of the flock, yet their leadership had become distant and disconnected. They placed expectations on the people, yet weren't willing to walk with them in their burdens. Their approach relied on authority and pressure, rules and interpretations that multiplied and weighed heavy on those who were trying to be faithful. Instead of drawing people closer to God, this kind of leadership created distance from the people whom they were called to shepherd. The voices that were spoken often didn't bring clarity to life. Rather than guiding the sheep with care and attentiveness, they managed the people, corrected them, and at times shut them out. Within this setting, Jesus describes others as thieves and robbers. Strong language that point to leaders who don't really care for the sheep, who do not enter in by the gate, and who seek their own purposes rather than the well-being of the flock that they are entrusted to. The issue isn't simply poor leadership, but misdirection. The sheep are being led in ways that don't lead to life. That's the real problem, as the people of God are under the care of leaders who aren't shepherding. Voices are speaking, direction is being given, but the leadership lacks this relational knowledge, the care and the integrity of a shepherd. This hits close to home in our world today, a world filled with so many different voices. Any given moment, there's someone speaking, someone drawing our attention, someone trying to get a hold of us. Social media, news feeds, streaming platforms, all of it constantly calling out for our attention. We are always being wooed. And if you're looking for love, that's a different story. But in our case, it's companies, influencers, systems, all competing for our loyalty and our attention. Every voice claims to offer us something: fulfillment, truth, security, happiness, but not every voice leads to life. And so many people, myself included, we sometimes respond by the only way we know how, by tuning out or turning off, not feeling like we can make a contribution. And it can be disheartening. It can be disengaging. It's not necessarily that we don't care about what's happening, but we simply have a hard time sorting through all the different voices to find the one that's worth listening to. We see this confusion on the global scale as well, with the wars and the conflicts that are unfolding. It can be difficult not to know what to do, or can to become cynical because it's just too overwhelming. It often appears that the driving forces are not the well-being of people or the world community, but something else: self-interest, control, and power. We may not have figures like Herod in the Bible, but we still do have tyrants today. They haven't disappeared. They continue to rise, to dominate, and to sow chaos and suffering. And then there is more personal ways of experiencing voices that look to deceive. We've seen the surge in digital scams across Canada in the last number of, and it's difficult to recognize a voice that seems so authentic. The CRA or a bank or a credit card company, even a phone call pretending to be part of your family. They often use fear or urgency. Act now. Your account is at risk. Your loved one is in trouble. You need to help them. It's unsettling because it can sound so convincing. The language is familiar. The tone is official. And it becomes increasingly difficult to distinguish what is a true voice from not so much a trustworthy one. Some are loud, some are subtle, some are persuasive, some are manipulative, all calling for the attention, our attention, and our trust. And like sheep surrounded by all of these competing calls, we are left trying to discern which voice is the right one. The good news is that God doesn't leave the sheep, doesn't leave us in confusion, but tells us that the gatekeeper opens the gate and the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. God is not in the business of shutting people out, of closing the gate. God is not saying, clean yourself up first, try harder, and then God's grace is for you. No. The good shepherd speaks, and the sheep know his voice. Because God sent his son for this very purpose, to seek and to save what is lost. He goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow because they recognize his voice. This is the voice that doesn't lead us astray. This is the voice that doesn't burden us with more shame. This is the voice that knows us truly, knows us by name, knows you by name. The one who carries our suffering, bears our burdens, and gives himself for us. The one who will leave the 99 for the one lost sheep. The one who is hurting and doubting, struggling or wandering. This is the voice of the Good Shepherd, who knows the sheep, knows our quirks, knows our fears, knows our wounds, knows our scars, knows our history, and the text tells us, knows our name. The shepherd knows your name, cares for you. And that's a voice worth trusting. There's a song by Tommy Walker called, Jesus. He knows my name. And it says this, it says, he knows my name, he knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, hears me when I call. That's the God revealed in Jesus Christ, the God who knows you personally, your good part, your bad part, and loves you anyways. This is the one that John is pointing us to, the one that we learn to recognize the voice. Now, Steve has a picture, and I know I've showed Bluey the Budgie before. But Bluey the Budgie has incredible hearing. And I don't know if you know about robins, but little robins, this is a budgie, but a robin, how can they find worms? How do you think, what do they use to find worms? Does anybody know? What? Ears. They have incredible hearing. They find worms not by chance, not by going to the casino and rolling the dice. They literally are able to hear the worm in the ground, and that's how they find the worms. So Bluey's little hearing is so strong, he can find us in every single room of the house, and he'll chirp and chirp and chirp and drive you crazy until he finds his flock. So he knows the voice of his flock. It's a little bit of a picture of how we can be with God. God knows the voice of his flock. We can know that voice too. That's what Jesus is describing. God always intends that his people will be led and fed and protected by a true shepherd. History gives us a powerful example in World War I. Some soldiers, they tried to take a whole bunch of sheep near Jerusalem from a shepherd. And the shepherd woke and he saw that his sheep were being driven out. And so he thought, you know, I have no power. I have no guns. I have nothing to fight back. And so he just thought of the only thing he could do is he just started calling the sheep. And the sheep were going off in one direction. And next thing they know, they recognized the voice and they started heading back. They started heading back to their shepherd. That's a little bit like us. We can wander. We can get off in a different direction, but we always can hear the voice. We hear the voice and we can respond in the same way. One by one, in this example, the sheep began to return to the shepherd. They turned and they made their way back, not to the soldiers, but to that familiar voice that they recognized. Even after years and years and years, we recognize it too. There's no force, no coercion, just recognition. That's the grace in the text. Jesus doesn't tell us where to go. He calls us and lets us make the decision. That kind of grace is not just something we read about. It is something we see. The testimony of personal experience is powerful because we encounter people who know this shepherd's voice, who listen for it. You've met them. Maybe you're one of them. They're not usually the loudest in the room. They're not rushing from one thing to the next. There's a steadiness about these types of people, a peace, a quiet confidence. Not because life has been easy, but because they are being led. They've learned how to listen. I see that right here in church or at the food bank on Wednesdays when volunteers are shepherding a group of people. And they're there to listen and to care and give direction. It's amazing to see this in our midst. Or I know people that show up quietly on Sunday mornings or through the week and take the time to notice other people. Like my dad, whose faith I learned from so many years ago, there was something real, something steady in his life. And I just thought it was my dad. But then I discovered who was behind it. Way more precious. And I learned to listen to that voice too. Because when we begin to recognize the voice, we begin to reflect the heart behind it. We begin to notice people. We begin to care. This is the kind of church that we are trying to build here at St. Andrew's Chalmers. There's one lady, and she is always welcoming other people. She's always taking the time to get to know people's name, creating space so that they can feel welcome too. This is the kind of church that we would want to be here at St. Andrew's Chalmers. A church that knows the shepherd's voice, a church that helps others to hear it too, not in a hurry to grow, committed to growing deeply with each other, building relationships on the foundation of God's grace. The same grace we are invited to experience with the Good Shepherd ourselves. So friend, in a world full of voices, loud and persuasive, demanding and critical, Jesus is still speaking, not to add to the noise, but to call his sheep. You don't have to be listening perfectly. But will you draw close enough to recognize the voice? The shepherd knows his sheep. He's calling your name. Let us hear the voice and discover we're not lost. We're not alone. We are being led. And that is a reason for faith. Amen.